Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Naked Talk with Alex Okoji. It's all about straight talk with some of the biggest global icons, leaders, entertainers, motivational speakers, authors, life coaches, relationship experts, social advocates, and extraordinary friends as they treat themselves, their experiences, and share their unfiltered thoughts about life issues. I believe in stripping the lies and empowering the mind through the freedom of expression. I'm unapologetic about being open, so I motivate my guests to tell it like it is and help my listeners build a presence of mind while finding their voice. So it's all about the best in authentic conversations with real people about real life experiences. So let's keep it unfiltered, unscripted, uncensored, and uncut. You're welcome to today's episode.
With Alex Okoroji. And yes, my name is Alex, and I am broadcasting live all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, in the heart of Africa. Yay! So, hey, people, how are you? I'm very excited to be back here this week on radio. And of course, you know, the amazing thing about the Naked Talk is that it's not just a Q&A. You know, this is a hub for great, authentic conversations. And of course, with conversations come perspective, views, opinions, thoughts, and of course, expression. And we are not ashamed to think what we're thinking, say what we want to say, and, you know, be cool with it. So, guys, you know, welcome back to another great, great show. I'm excited to have you guys here, and I can't wait to, you know, join my guest today on the show. So, yes, make sure you grab a cup of coffee or your favorite wine, and let's get ready to get into some great conversation. But just before we get into our conversation for today, well, last week on radio, I had two very awesome guests on the show. Now, on Talk Wednesday, I had one of my favorites, and I call her one of my favorites because, you know, she's a recurring guest on my show, and it was nice to have American author Nina Bingham and she was, you know, she was on the show on Talk Wednesday, and we had a pre-birthday special for her. You know, it was her 52nd birthday, and we kind of talked about, you know, women, beauty, and aging in an age-phobic society, and it was great to just sit down with Nina and talk about her experience and her thoughts. And as usual, you know, Nina always has, you know, being a life coach, she always has great, awesome perspective on why, you know, women, you know, the way we look really isn't the only thing that we women should feel great about. So that was, you know, a totally awesome conversation. And, of course, on the Friday radio special, I had another very special guest live all the way from Houston, Texas. Yes, he's a relationship expert and a very popular talk radio host. It was nice to have Shonda Dean Williams, Sean Williams, live here on the show. And, of course, we talked about sex. We also talked about mindset and, of course, manhood. And, you know, Steve is just a totally different kind of person. It was nice to have Steve just take us, you know, just share his wisdom and, of course, his experience being, you know, a man in the game and how men or guys can actually grow to become men and how they can change their mindset about relationships as well as sex. So if you missed any of those conversations, don't forget that you can come back to the Archive Show right after this live show and you can listen to all of the conversations that you've missed. They are available here 24/7, so you have no excuse whatsoever to miss them. Or you can also catch them at our syndicated radio networks. Yes, and we're syndicating all over your internet radio, so you can find, you can catch the Naked Talk on Stitcher, on iTunes, and TuneIn Radio. So you have no excuse whatsoever to miss any show. And yes, don't forget to share, tell your friends about it, listen, and of course, leave a comment. Make sure you leave a review so we know what you're thinking. Now, if you would, you know, love to sponsor an episode, or, you know, sponsor the show or sponsor an episode, don't forget you can write us at thenakedtalk@gmail.com. Or you can become a VIP patron. Yes, you can become a VIP patron and support, you know, support our show, support creativity and great authentic conversations. And you can go to my official website at www.alexacurrency.me and click on Patron and find out what it takes to be a patron and all the great rewards we have for all our special VIPs. Yeah! So, guys, today's show is brought to you by our friends at Hevolution Magazine. And Hevolution Magazine is all about bringing to you the hair side of life and, of course, giving your hair a voice. And you can find them at www.hevolutionmagazine.com. And, of course, our friends at QTB Entertainment and Events. And QTB is all about their A-class quality events and entertainment productions. And you can find them at www.qtabevents.com. And don't forget to call in and join today's conversation. You can actually get for yourself some very, very, very special giveaways from Zinger Naturals. And Zinger Naturals is all about, you know, top quality handmade beauty products made from the finest natural fruits and, of course, organic oils. And right here in Africa, and you can get a chocolate bar soap, perhaps a carrot-made soap, or maybe moringa. So, guys, don't forget to pick up that number and call into the show and join the conversation. This is a conversation. So, you know, you can win for yourself some very, very awesome giveaways. Now, have you grabbed a copy of my book? Do you have a copy of my book, The Naked Truth Live Strip? Don't forget, you can get a copy of my book. The Naked Truth Live Strip is a book that offers wisdom to those who are struggling or have struggled to accept the truth about who they really are, what life is, and, you know, just the realities of love, life, sex, relationships, and reinvention of self. And you can find my book at my official website at www.alexacurrency.me. Make sure to click on book. Or you can, you know, go to any of your favorite online retail stores. You can buy the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, you know, where it's all over the internet, just search for it, and you can find grab a copy and let me know what you think about this book. You know, I love to hear the reviews, and the reviews are really awesome. So, guys, don't forget to get a copy of that book. Now, today on TNT 048, yes, we're definitely going on, you know, talking about that journey to self with my very, very special guest. Now, she's been doing amazing things, fulfilling her purpose, from starting her journey as an on-air personality on radio to becoming the lead singer of the defunct girl group Inmate, to riding on as one of the hottest solo artist performers with her debut solo album. Now, she's established herself as, you know, one of the, you know, true musical talents here in Nigeria and also in Africa as a whole. Now, she's been one of the brand pioneers for girl power rocking the stage to more musical work and earning her place on television and gracing the big screen as an actress. Now, I don't want to give out so much because we have, you know, so much great conversation, but I'm very, very happy to chat live today on the radio with my very special guest, Nigerian singer, songwriter, actress, and award-winning filmmaker, Ashinya Raka. And yes, I can't wait to connect with my guest. I think she's live. She's here already. Hi, Ash. Hi, Ashinya.
Hey, Alex. Hi.
Hi. Well, welcome to the Naked Talk with Alex Agurdi. I'm very excited to have you here. How are you?
I am super excited to be on the show. I am fantastic.
Great, great, great. It's nice having you here. I know that we kind of kept you waiting just a bit, you know, it's a mouthful. But first of all, I'm so, you know, I've been waiting for this day. I've been trying to get you on the show since last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
the schedules just keep clashing. But, you know, it's awesome to have you here, and I can't wait to, you know, just get into this conversation with you. Now, for the sake of those, you know, who are listening, you know, from around the world, some who may not have been fortunate to stumble on you and your work. Now, I know that lots of people have a perception of who they think Ashinya is. The media might have a perception. Your family might have a perception. Your friends and colleagues might feel they know who Ashinya really is. But how would you describe yourself? Who would you say Ashinya Raka is?
I would say I am a fun-loving person. I love people. I'm a creative individual. I love family. Of course, I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I have two beautiful kids. And basically, I'm an all-round fun person, and I love life.
I can tell. I mean, I've had the, you know, privilege to, you know, just be around you. And so I know that I can testify to that, that you like to have fun and you're a fun-loving person. Now, I know that you've been, as an artist, you've been on this artistic journey so far, you know, having accomplished so much for yourself. And you have such a great resume. When I look at you, I think, oh, she's been on this, she's been on TV, she's been on radio, she's been on, you know, she's been in movies. You've kind of like really, really just cut across different spectrum of the arts, right? Now, how did your romance with arts, how did it begin? How did it really start?
I think it started when I was a kid, actually. I have always loved singing. I started in church. Mm-hmm. My mom was in the choir, so I always tagged along as a kid when she went for practices. So I guess it just, you know, just caught up with me somehow, you know, from that. And I initially wanted to become a lawyer, to be honest. But I guess the art drew me back, and I got on radio. I've been in entertainment for about 16 years now. Got on radio as a radio presenter. Started my music career same year. That was in year 2000. And moved from there to TV presenting and acting and, producing, screenwriting, basically everything, like you said. And I do want to someday write a book like you, Alex, so we'll have to wait for that.
I'm sure that's going to happen very soon. Believe me, I have no doubt whatsoever. I mean, you covered, like, everything. I think that's the only thing that's left. You probably share your tell us your story. I know you will, so I can't wait to read your book. I know that's going to happen very soon. I was going to ask if you already knew, but, I mean, you did say that you wanted to be a lawyer, you know, because I was going to ask if you always knew that there was some sort of music in you. But when exactly was that, you know, light bulb moment? When was it that you realized that you actually really wanted to do this?
When I was in secondary school, ages ago, Lord, can't quite remember, but I was in the school choir. I was in the school choir, and I just knew something kept pulling me to music or to entertainment through music. And even while in secondary school, I was also involved in drama. And so I guess it just caught me then. And I just said, okay, you know what, the law thing, yeah, let's try. But you know, somewhere along the line, you know, I just gave in to the arts, and like the rest, they say, is history.
I guess so. Okay, you know what, Ash? And,
yeah.
You know, she's talking about music. And one of the reasons why, you know, we're doing this, because I said we're probably going to have to touch. I mean, you had a very long journey. It's been a long walk, you know, trying to use. But who would you say were your musical influences, like, you know, growing up?
Oh, my Lord. Oh, loads of them. As a kid, my dad, my home was a very musical home, right? As a kid, I knew I would wake up, or I remember I would wake up to my dad playing songs from various artists like Shalimar, Don Williams, Dolly Parton, you name it. So, yeah, but as I grew, I think my influences became people like Whitney Houston, God rest her soul, Chaka Khan, Toni Braxton. I basically listened to a whole lot of people, you know, from different genres. And I guess my influences, if you listen to some of my songs, you hear the influences of loads of these people in my songs. Yes, or in my style of music. So, yeah.
Okay, you know what, Ash, and we'll come back and talk about, you know, all of that, you know, your genre and everything like that. But you know what, how about we take a quick commercial break? Don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Just stay right there.
You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. You're listening to The Naked Talk. It's so uncensored. She keeps it real. She keeps it straight. She tells it like it is, no matter who's afraid to bear.
You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. Have you pre-ordered your own specially autographed copy of The Naked Experience by Alex Okorji? From timid girl to confident woman. It will make you laugh, it will make you cry, it will make you cuss, but most of all, it will be a great resource for you and your loved ones. Log on to www.alexokorji.net to reserve your copy and win two VIP tickets to the book tour and match.
Okay, we're back. And if you're just tuning in, well, this is Till the Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. And yes, my name is Alex and I am broadcasting live all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. And yes, if you just don't forget, you can be part of today's conversation. Just before I went on that commercial break, I was speaking to my very special guest, Ashin Yoraka, and we were talking about, you know, her journey, just the early beginnings and what her musical, you know, influences were growing up. And don't forget, you can call into the show if you want to call in. The number to call is +1-215-383-3766, +1-215-383-3766. If you're calling from outside the U.S., if you're calling from within the U.S., make sure to dial as a local number, 215-383-3766. Or you can use the chat room. You can use the live in-studio chat room and drop a message. And, of course, your message will be read on the show. Or you can tweet at Alex Okorji, and, of course, I will read your messages. So, hi, Ash.
Hey, Alex.
Welcome back. Okay, you know, just before we went on that, you know, break, you were sharing with us your musical influences. Now, I know that, you know, apart from being a singer, you're also a songwriter, which is, you know, pretty unique. Because, well, you know, not everyone gets to write their songs, and not everyone at that, you know, enough to write their own song, but you do write your own songs. Now, how would you describe the songs that you compose?
I would say my songs, I actually get how do I put this now? I write my songs from experiences, basically. Yes, you know, and experiences from, you know, personal experiences and experiences of people that I know.
Hi, are you there? Hello. Hi, Junior. Hi, can you hear me? Are you still there? Hello. Hey, Ash. Okay,
yeah,
you know
I'm
what,
here.
Guys? Okay, I can hear you. Okay, I can hear you now. I think I lost you for a moment. I couldn't really hear you.
Oh, sorry about that.
Okay, but, you know, of all the songs that you have written, which would you say is probably the most personal to you? I mean, if you write from experience and all of that, which would you say, which of your songs, you know, is, you know, the most personal?
I would say a song called My Love, because I wrote the song, the story is just, I wouldn't say crazy. Okay, but here's the story. I was a mom for the first time. I had my son, and I'd never fallen in love that much before. I never experienced love in that form or in that way. And one day I was just changing his diaper, and to keep him quiet, I just started singing, and the words just started flowing. And yeah, and I wrote that song then, without a pen and paper. It just came out like, you know, like a freestyle sort of singing. And the song was born, and I recorded it, and I knew it was something special. And my son, he's 5, almost 6 now, and we sing the song to each other now. It's amazing. And he can't wait to teach it to his sister, he said. So, yeah, I think that's the most personal song to me.
Oh, wow. And you know what is so amazing about stuff like that? Because I know how, like, I honestly understand, you know, the love of a mother and how, you know, sometimes we think we understand love until we have a child. And then we know you know, that is probably one of the purest forms of love. But you know what?
Love,
I think I want to talk about this because I kind of want people to hear, you know this song that was fully inspired by your first son. Hey guys, this is My Love by Ashirinye. So enjoy. We'll be back.
What cannot describe what I'm feeling? I know deep in my heart this is love. I knew right from the start that I will be your girl. Only love you can get over. Yeah, baby, can you be oh? Hey, baby, oh, my love, my heart sings oh. I'm
That Was My Love by Ashanya. Hey! Hi, Ash. Hi.
Hey, Alex.
Okay, you know, here's what. I kind of really, really like your lower octave. There's just something really sexy about your lower octave.
Thank you.
listening to that. Okay, guys, I can see people dialed into the show. Okay, we have a caller.
Okay.
Let's see. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, I know this voice. I have to know this voice. Hi. Hello.
Are you sure you know this voice?
I think I know this voice. Who's calling? Hi.
I just wanted to disturb Ashanya a bit. I had a voice and I said I must call to say hi.
Hi. Who's this, please?
Ashanya, my name is John Njama.
Hey, Alex was right. She knew this voice. She knows this voice.
I knew that voice. It was
Hi, John.
I am the presenter on the other side. I pop in every now and then to this show. So, hey, hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Hi,
you know
John.
The title I want to give you is the title that most of us have. It's Jack of all trades, master of all.
Thank you. I'm honored. Coming from you.
That song is beautiful. Especially the jazzy feel at the end.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah. So have you been?
Hey, John.
I took over to the show now.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic.
How is mommyhood?
Mommyhood is great. My little girl is growing. She's 5 months now. Her brother is almost six. The work is plenty.
Wow. I hear you're stopping at 7. Is that true?
Huh? Who's there?
I hear you're stopping at 7.
So maybe you actually meet my neighbor next door. Because this girl is...
I think that's like one for every day of the week or so.
No.
Are you sure?
One child for every day of the week.
John.
Okay. I was actually gonna ask John what he thought about that song, but John already expressed what he thought about the song, and you know, I thought it was fantastic. I love your lower octave. Listening to that. I haven't heard anything from, you know, Ashanya in a while, so just listen to that. That was really fresh and I think you need to keep popping more babies so that we can have more beautiful songs.
It's better when a good song has levels, not just the hello, how are you, goodbye. You know, it has different levels and it has different expressions, even to the instrumentation, you know. And that's what I like about music, that you are not able to define. It was difficult for me to define that genre. I don't know if it was pop, hip hop, or R&B.
Or jazz, or
blues. So it has a fusion of almost everything.
Everything,
which makes it really nice.
Thank you. That was the end. So, you know, a good song. It's actually used by PY. It's amazing.
Okay. We got the feel, actually, because I was thinking, you know, there's the African inflection and, you know, use of, you know, your own local dialect. And you could still hear, like, anybody from anywhere in the world to listen to that and enjoy the song. And that is what I think is really awesome about this. But you know what, Ash? I need to ask you this. And just while John is still here, I'm going to throw you over the bit. Let's flash back a little bit to when you were part, I mean, your former girl band. You used to be in a girl band.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Now, what was it really like being in a girl group? Was it Cat 5? And, you know, I used to be the little underground girl group, so I kind of have an idea, but what was it really like being a part of a girl group?
It was fun, but there were loads of Cat 5s. And actually,
catfight
over little silly things. Because we were actually very young when we started off, and we had no idea about the business. We came in with just the talent, you know, one could dance, all could sing, and that's all we brought to the table. And so there were a lot of things. And, of course, three different girls from three different backgrounds with three different views and values, you name it. So everyone had something to say, and that always led to, you know, she thinks she's better than I am. And but we did create good music together, I must say. And everyone's doing great where they are presently. You know, one is a doctor. I don't exactly know where the third person is, but I guess she's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still in entertainment, and it's fantastic. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I guess we ended up where we're supposed to be.
I probably assume. But you know what? I'm just thinking about asking you this. If you could take out, let's go back a little bit, you know, back in time. Like, if you could take one person, if you could take out one person from that band, right? One of the members, and switch them up with another member from another girl's band anywhere else in the world, who would you take out and who would you bring in?
Let's see. I'll bring in the worst singer in Spice Girls. I'm not naming anybody. Because I wouldn't want anybody to come and steal my shine. Come on now. You know. So I would replace her with this is hard now.
I could help you actually.
The worst singers in Spice Girls. Who would you pick for my ex group?
The worst singer in Spice Girls.
Who would you pick for my ex group?
Okay. No, I don't. You know, here's what I would. You know, this is what I probably would say. Right. So if there are three of us and I was you, I'd probably take myself out of the group. I'd kill myself in Destiny's Child or 702 or any other group.
Be careful. She's throwing it at you. She's throwing it at you.
Johnny,
I'm trying to help her out. Like.
No, I'm not saying Destiny's Child. You know, I'm not saying Destiny's Child.
What is it?
Beyonce already ruled that group, so we're not going to go there.
No.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Okay, but let me ask you this. I mean, I know that you enjoy what you do as an artist.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I know that you love it. But I didn't know why you love it. So let me ask you this. What is it that you enjoy the most about what you do?
The fact that I'm able to express myself, you know, in music, I'm able to express how I feel inside. The movies or acting, I'm able to express express myself in that form, be another character, expressing that character's feelings, basically. Art basically gives you that freedom to just be you. That's why I love the art.
Mm-hmm.
If I were a lawyer, my life would be very boring.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Sorry, lawyers all over the world.
but
glad I ended up where I ended up.
So what is it that you like the list? I mean, what do you like the list about being an artist?
Nothing. Really? I enjoy everything I put my hands to. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know what? I was going to ask you this now. I mean, I know that you know, at some point, your husband right now, you know, was, you were signed to his record label at the time, back in time. Now, I'm curious as to what it was, how you met. Because, I mean, again, we hear a lot of these stories, you know, some people don't like to mix work, you know, and...
With pleasure.
And some, you know, exactly. And for some, it doesn't work out too well for a lot of people. I know that a lot of people probably want to know what it is that, first of all, you found that attracted you to him, and what it is that has kept that's your relationship goal. Because not everybody ends up at the altar with someone that they're, you know, intimate and still be together. So what was it exactly that caught your attention about Kyle in the beginning, you know, working with him?
Okay, the very first time I saw Carl, I met Carl, was at a mutual friend's office, and we were there, me and my former band members, and we're having a meeting with his friend, who was some executive of a company, and this guy strolls in with a white T-shirt and a, you know, pair of blue jeans, and looking very fly with his hair, and I was wondering, okay. And the first thing that attracted me, actually, was his hair. It was so full and very beautiful. And I wondered how a man could have hair that long, waist long. And we all said hi, blah-de-blah-de-blah. Nothing happened. That was just it. I said, oh, nice hair in my mind. And that was it. Good-looking chap. And somewhere along the line, you know, one phone call, and I don't know. We just clicked. I guess we have a lot in common. We just clicked. No one asked anyone out. I've said that a gazillion times. Though the Nigerian press have, you know, have their different versions of how we met and how things have been. But, yeah, we've been together. I've known Carl for almost 16 years now. And we've been married almost 7 years now. We did have a year apart, you know. Yeah, we did have a year apart. Maybe to go and rethink and see, you know, am I with the right person, or do I need to move on with my life? But then at the end of the day, after the year apart, we did come back together, and like you said, walked down the aisle and got married. And now we have two beautiful kids, almost 7 years as man and wife, and we still have a lot in common. We have our fights, we have our moments. Mm-hmm. We argue. Every marriage has those, but we always find a way. Yeah, we always find a way around it. You know, one person says I'm sorry, and the other says I'm sorry as well, and we talk about the issues, and you know, smile and move on. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so you know, and for a lot of people, there are people who've always felt like, you know, people, you know, in the same industry, or especially in the entertainment industry. I do not agree. Mm-hmm. Even though I've been, you know, I've worked down that way and it didn't work, I still believe that people can actually make it work. It doesn't matter what, you know. So what would you say are the lessons that you've learned now, you know, going from being this young, vibrant, artist, single artist, to becoming a wife and a mother and still trying to, you know, move ahead in the entertainment industry? What would you say are the lessons that you probably learned? That marriage has probably added, you know, in terms of,
added to it. I've learned to be a lot more patient with people. I never used to be that, to be honest. When I was single and before I became a mother, I was always like, get it moving. But it was like, okay, I sit, I listen, I observe, I watch, and I decide what, you know, the next step will be. And patience, maturity, and I just take things easier now than I used to before. I had a lot of energy back then, and you know, to burn, so to speak, and a lot of things led to words that weren't supposed to come out back then, you know, like in my former band, you know, everyone something spin. Yeah. Sometimes I'm saying things you're not supposed to say, that, you know, and spending the opportunity. But now if I say anything, I think, is what I'm about to say gonna offend this person or gonna annoy this person? I guess mother is about, you know, patience. But yeah. So that's it. Even work, I try to be patient with whether on my parts or, you know, if I'm working with people on their be patient with people.
I think that, you know, motherhood and having kids kind of teach you, I think that, like, the biggest lessons in patience, actually, having children.
I had my son, that just came, patience, endurance, and, you know, you take a lot of, you're able to take a lot of, from people.
Very true.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what, Ash? You know what, Ash?
Yes.
How about we do this? I mean, we're just talking about, you know, having just a little bit of patience. So how about I play one song? You know, I play a little song, just a little bit by Ash Shamir. And enjoy. Back, and that was Just a Little Bit by Ashionier. Yay! And that was a totally amazing song. Yeah, we did lose our first caller, John and Gemma, but if you want to join this conversation, and oh, I forgot to mention, John and Gemma is also an award-winning filmmaker, actor filmmaker in Nigeria, Nigerian actor filmmaker. So it was nice to have John calling to support, you know, show some love to us.
He's always supportive.
Has a habit of dropping, like, you know, when I heard that voice, I was like, okay, I know this voice. You know, so, but we lost John, but I'm, you know, I hope he'll call back again. But if you're listening out there and you want to join this conversation, don't forget to call in. The number to call is +1 215 383 3766. And of course, we'll get you. Oh, yes, and use your hand raising effect. Press 1. So we know that you're not just listening, but you actually want to speak, and we'll get you to join the conversation. Now, Ash, yeah, that was beautiful. That sounded like house music to me. It was like more like, you know, house, like it was like house music. That was really beautiful. Like, again,
thank you.
It has a theme. And then, you know, you do really have like a very wide vocal range. I never really realized that actually until listening to both songs, especially this one.
Thank you. Like
totally
like you said, I need to pop more kids out. I think having kids, you know, push the voice out. So no, but I'm done with kids. Thank you. Two is enough.
I mean, but it's true. You have a boy, you have a girl. So what else are you looking for? Like, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, exactly. You're lucky. You. But you know what? We've been talking about music, and that's just one aspect of your life as an artist.
Yeah.
Now you're also an actress. And you've been on television, and you've been in movies, and you've been, even on stage. So which would you say is your favorite medium? Which would you say is your favorite medium? Do you prefer being on TV, or do you like being in movies, or on stage as an actor?
I think each of them have their own pluses. For stage, I love the fact that it's very challenging and you don't get to hear cut by the director and you do another take.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're on stage, the lines must flow. You miss your lines, that is it. So I love the challenge of the stage theater. TV, film, they do have their own advantages and pluses as well. But I wouldn't say this or that or the other. You know, I just basically love being an actor and expressing myself in that way. Yeah. Well, stage does present that challenge, that extra challenge.
Mm. Yeah, and I totally understand what you're saying, because I like the feel, I personally like the feel of being live, like as opposed to being recorded, and because you can edit and cut. And I think that's what probably being naked is. So maybe the stage is a more very unfiltered medium, because,
unfiltered,
like you said, if you make a mistake, that's it, right? Okay, but I mean, I know that you've played some of the best characters in, you know, some of the best soap operas and series. I know a lot of people remember you from, you know, Doctor's Quarters. You're also on Tinsel, and you've been, you know, doing very, very great, being part of noteworthy productions. Now, what is it? Let me ask you. I know that, you know, again, you know, motherhood is a great, you know, it's a great experience, but with that experience also comes certain sacrifices. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, you skip some jobs because, I mean, you can no longer play a part or whatever. For example, what happened to your character on Tinsel? But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
This is just totally off the cuff. Like, do you miss being a part of it? Do you
a
miss
part
being
of
on that production? Do you miss, miss discerning, like, what happened to your character? Do you miss any of that? No.
Well,
I did
at the time because, on Tinsel, we were both on season 2. And then I got married and I got pregnant almost immediately. And I couldn't cope, you know, waking up that early, because I had the worst case of morning sickness for about 4 months. And I just couldn't cope waking up at 4 a.m. to get to work at 6 a.m. every day. So I asked the producers to come up with a story for me and just give me that time off. And they did promise to bring the character back or bring me back on the show. But I guess they decided to take the story down another road, and I did miss the show at the time, you know, the year after. But after that, you know, hey, come on, you move on to other things and better things, and you know, it's been grand so far. Yeah, so I wouldn't say I still miss the show. I don't exactly miss the show at the moment. No, I've done other things, and yeah.
I can relate to that. I mean, and you know, my asking that is because, you know, even as actors, sometimes we build an attachment to, especially on television, because when you get a foreign character over and over again, you build an attachment sometimes to your character, and you know, for some really deep actors, it becomes like, you know, it's very difficult, really, to transition from, you know, it's almost like a breakup, some sort of breakup. So
yeah, it is almost like a breakup, yeah. You know, but hey, you know, if the you know, in a breakup, it means one person doesn't want the other person. Since that other person didn't want this person decided to move on to other things. And, you know, yeah, it's been amazing so far.
True.
But the experience is great. I met a lot of fantastic people, new actors who are now in the industry, movie industry in Nigeria, as well as, you know, veteran actors. And I learned a lot from the people I worked with, you know, including yourself. You know, I met you, you know, properly on Tinsel. And, you know, since then we've been friends, you know. And I'm in touch with some of the cast and some of the crew. And, it's been awesome. It's fantastic, yeah. I would say that phase of my life was meant to happen. But then, you know, moving on.
But it's great. No, but it's great because you've gone on to build your own production company, your own and you're doing, so, like, you're doing awesome stuff. Okay, you talked about writing a book. That's my, like, my own future goal, to being able to show, produce my own films and write the kind of stories that I wanted to. Again, so you know, there's something that I want to achieve as well. So, but it's nice to know that you've done so much, like, you know, with your production company. I know just, and then it's, you know, it's almost, it's very apparent that you obviously have a thing for kids, a special affinity for children.
The children,
I know that you have a children's program. There was a children's program. You want to, you know, tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, actually, the show is my husband. I produce for him, Cat Media, myself produce for him, and I also direct the show. The show is basically to help educate kids, because in Nigeria, we don't have Nigerian-made programs for children. We're basically allowing them to watch foreign programs. So we wanted to create shows for our children by Nigerians, basically telling Nigerian stories, teaching Nigerian lessons in our way. We have Kids Zone, you know, and we have a show called Storybook, where we get celebrities come on the show and they read original African stories written by my husband, Carl. And it's amazing because the production, basically, it's actually a big production because we use a lot of special effects, and we use to the imagery as well, you know, to tell the stories. And, you know, so far we've had positive reviews. We also have kid presenters and awesome kid presenters. And there's a show called Stereo where the kids, we have two kids presenters interview top musicians or artists in Nigeria. And these kids, I can tell you, are not your kids who ask, what's your favorite color? No, they go in for the kill. They will ask you questions like you're being interviewed by an adult, like, why did you decide to go into music? Now tell me, okay, this particular song, what were you thinking about when you wrote it? Those are the kind of kids presenters we have. As in, you sit down to have conversations with them and you're wondering, are you really a child or an adult? You know, so yeah, so basically that's what we're doing. And we're trying to also, there are other shows we're working on at the moment, and we're trying to also present Nigeria in a positive light. We have other shows lined up that will teach us about Nigerian history and, you know, different parts of Nigeria, different cultures and what have you, but basically celebrating our people and doing it through kids, for kids. That's what the show is about, Kids Zone, yes.
Okay, here's something, you know, and just listening to you explain all of this, I'm very, very excited, and it's nice to know that there are people who are really thinking about empowering and enlightening children so that they can become, you know, wiser and more knowledgeable about their history and all of that. And what is really amazing about, you know, just having this conversation is knowing that Carl, your husband, is an integral part of this process. Being that, I mean, his next, right, He's not Nigerian, is he?
Carl is more Nigerian than I am. The reason why I say that, and the funny thing is that's been interpreted differently by the Nigerian press. But the reason why I say he's more Nigerian than I am, the fact that he's older than me, and he was born in Kano, Nigeria, Kano State, yes. And he speaks Hausa very well, fluently. He knows about the Nigerian culture. Yeah, so he's rooted here, so to speak. He knows about the Nigerian culture, the Nigerian people. His family, the Raka family, has been in Nigeria for well over 100 years. They had a football club, yes. They had a football club, the Raka Rovers. His grandfather had ground up pyramids back in Jos. So the family has been here quite a while. So, yeah, that's why I say he's more Nigerian than I am. Carl knows a lot about Nigeria.
Oh, wow. No, it's great to know this because, again, that's why I have this sort of conversation. I didn't know that he was born in Nigeria. You still have people who are mixed race, even though they were born in Nigeria, they still, they don't really want to be involved in trying to tell the history and, project that culture or that community or that country. It's pretty much not their thing. It's really just want to live your life. So to have anyone be interested in that and do that, I think that is totally admirable, very, very admirable.
It's amazing, though. My family, well, my in-laws, the family I'm married into, down to my mother-in-law and her sisters, because they were also born in Kano. Whenever we go visiting, we're always talking about Nigeria. They hear news about Nigeria, they want to know because, they feel Nigeria is their second home or their first home because they were born here. So anything that has to do with Nigeria, they're interested in. We talk about Nigeria and Nigerian food, they're Nigerian, like myself, but it's amazing. So, married to a foreigner married into a foreign family. I would say I'm married into a Nigerian family.
Nigerian family.
Because they do know about the people.
And that makes a lot of sense, actually. So I feel like, a lot of us and a lot of people, probably making judgments or making conclusions based on the color of skin as opposed to, the backstory. So, just having this backstory just sort of totally, opens up our mind a little bit more.
A lot of
things. I can now understand why, why he would be so interested in, having a record label and be interested in Nigerian music and Nigerian people and all of that, So, but I also think that,
food.
Nigerian food as well. But, it's also great to have whatever connections. I really, really love diversity. So, I like the combination really, and I totally love the combination of the both of you. But to know that rooted here, I think that that, and I'm sure those who are listening probably didn't have that information before. So having a conversation is great. Well, let me ask you this, Ash. Being an actor, and I know we don't have so much time before we wrap up, but if you could pick any fictional character to play in a movie. Who would you choose? Who would you be?
Any fictional character? Let's see. I would like to play a Wicked Witch. I've never played a Wicked Witch. Not the Nigerian type of old school back in the day in Hollywood witch where they will paint your face black, your teeth black, and your face white. No. I mean more like the Hollywood type Wicked Witch.
Wicked Witch of the West. Wicked Witch of the West.
Maybe a pretty witch, not like with the nose and the mole, and the hat, but a pretty witch, but totally evil. Like Meryl Streep in that movie, is it Into the Woods or In the Woods or something like that? It was a musical. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. That kind of witch, you know, with perky boobs and the corseted dress and lovely hair. And yes, kind of witch. And you would never realize evil. That's the kind of witch I would love to play.
Well, I can totally imagine you're in a musical.
Oh, that would be amazing. Looking forward to something like that soon. Maybe I should produce a musical.
None of that. You got to think around that myself for a while. So, you know,
I actually do have a script for a musical. Still working on the music, though. But yeah, nearest future.
That'll be totally awesome. Okay, but you know, let's talk about just I know that you've been working on so many different projects. I know you just had a movie that's willing to come out. But just before we talk about that, you also have a few years ago, but you recently produced an award-winning film, Journey to Self.
Yeah.
And that was a huge success globally. I mean, you got, you know, won awards, nominations, and people were talking about it, and lots of people were influenced by the storyline and the story. But, you know, just before, you know, for the sake of those who probably never have seen it or haven't heard, what is Journey to Self? What's the story based on, really?
Is this
fiction?
I would say it's true stories of you know, that, I basically, here's the story, right? I basically, when I took my leave, because I took a 2-year break after having my son, and that period, there were loads of stories, you know, making the rounds in the Nigerian society, and I would read stories about, you know, women being battered and, you know, this woman's been killed by her spouse or attacked by her spouse. And I felt the need to put down pen to paper to express myself somehow and tell stories of these women. And then I came up with these stories, you know, and I decided to make them friends and came up with the story of Journey to Self. And I actually initially wanted to sell the script to a production house, but when they were forthcoming, I just woke up one night, tapped my husband, woke him up, and I said, I'm producing this movie. And I didn't have a clue, but I said I was producing it. And months down the line, I met someone who financed the movie, and you know, we went into it and produced Journey to Self. So basically, Journey to Self is a story about five friends. One of them, you know, passes away due to depression, and because she was trapped in a loveless marriage, and and she, being the confidant of the other four, never told them her problems as well and what led to her suicide, because she committed suicide due to depression. And depression is something we do not address a lot in our society in Nigeria. You know, we hear about, this person is depressed, but people are like, yeah, what the heck, what are you depressed about? But it's something not to be taken lightly, yes, because a lot of people have actually killed themselves due to depression. If you're depressed somewhere in Europe or in America or somewhere like that, you know, in the Western world, you will be told to see a doctor. You know, but a lot of us here, you say, I'm depressed, but then my friends carry yourself and go and sit down, depressed about what? Yes, life is hard, but that shouldn't be. You know, people who are depressed need listening ears. So basically, you know, Journey to Self addresses depression, suicide, childlessness, domestic violence, which, you know, my character, the character I played, was suffering that in her home. There was also the issue about homosexuality/cross-dressing/ what have you. One of the character's husband was that. And in Nigeria, you know we don't accept that. We actually have a law against being gay in this country, 14 years imprisonment. Yeah, but it does exist. So basically, Journey to Self addresses a lot of social issues, you know, in the 2 hours of the movie. Yeah, so... No, and it's been amazing, because that was my first production, and it did open a lot of doors for me, and a lot of nominations and accolades as well. And I must say, I'm thankful to God that happened, and it happened the way it happened, because we're still, you know, trucking on and, you know, trying to do positive with our productions. Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really nice to have, you know, Nigerian productions tell the kind of stories that people can feel empowered by.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's one thing to tell a story that, you know, just a washed up, tepid story for just the sake of entertainment, but it's another thing that people can watch and learn something, you know, take away something that they probably never knew. So I think that, you know, it's amazing in so many ways. You know, yes, it was entertaining, but it was also informative, and, you know, so it's a great thing. But, you know, we talked a little bit about the success, because generally a lot of bars, you know, and like you said, nominations and accolades. But what would you say was probably one of the challenges, one of the biggest challenges, you know, producing, making that film, really? Can you think of any one of the, you know, the major challenges trying to put it together?
One of the major challenges would be location. It's always been location in Nigeria, yeah. Like I said, I had someone who funded the movie, so, and that came, funny enough, pretty easy. And the money was down, you know, the cast were fantastic, professional, even the kids were professional, very professional. I even had my son in the movie, and he was just 2 years old, and he knew what to do, and the director... The director was fantastic. She's a mother, Tokwe Oshin. You know, she knew how to talk to the kids, how to talk to the actors. There was never a moment where she got upset. You know, she knew how to handle things. And the crew were also fantastic. Everyone was basically professional with their jobs. It was basically location. We also have the issue of light. You know, we have that in Nigeria. 1 minute there's, you know, hey, NEPA, the next minute it's gone, and you're wondering how you want to, you know, go on with the production. But thankfully, the locations we used had their own generators, so power cut, you know, suddenly you have the generators come on. So, but it still boils down to location till date. It's always been, and it still is in Nollywood. Yeah.
Okay, Ashton, I know they would have to let you go soon, but how about I just play this song? This is Best of Me, and this is soundtrack for your movie, Johnny Cassell. And, you know, I didn't realize that you actually did. That was you. But, you know, let me just have the listeners get a little listen from this is Best of Me.
You haven't seen the last of me. Don't rise me out. I've fallen, but I'm rising again. You haven't seen the best of me. Don't count me out. I'm crawling, but one day I will run. You haven't seen the last of me. You haven't seen the best of me. I'm feeling like a pilgrim, carrying a heavy load. Oh, my back is breaking and my feet are aching. I'm walking on a lonely road. I've been held back in the cold, but no, I won't break, 'cause the future is the same. Yes, you haven't seen the last of me. I'm crawling, but one day I will run. You haven't seen the
Hey, and that was Best of Me by Usher. And yes, it is, you know, one of the soundtrack for Journey to Self. And
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You know what? That's like an
yeah.
anthem. I'm telling you, I'm listening to every single
word.
And I'm thinking, oh man, yeah. Like, yeah, you haven't seen the Best of Me, and don't count me out. What are you talking about? But seriously speaking, I feel like, you know, that's an anthem. That's like a totally empowerment, like, you know, pop, like,
yeah.
Hey guys, you know, let's kiss. But it's great. And here's the thing. This is three different songs. Totally
yes.
three different rhythms, like, you know, almost three different genres, if I want to. So it just shows how very diverse, you know, your musical talent really is. And here's the funny thing. I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of like a little jealous in a sense because.
Oh, come on now.
No, but here's the thing. When I see people, I think that's the last thing that I probably need to do, which is just raise it up and just face that musical part of me and just do it. Like, you know,
exactly.
So when I see
you
people
have
easy,
an amazing
you know?
Voice.
So when I see people who are amazing, like, you know, a lot of people that I thought would be singing, that's what everyone expected. Actually, by not doing it was really me just trying to be rebellious because everyone just said, oh, you know, like, hey, you just take after your father, go and sing. Like, seriously, you don't need to ask questions. But I kind of, like, deliberately didn't want to do. But every time I see someone who does it, you know, it just makes you feel like, okay, you know,
why am I not doing this? Yeah.
You know, why you not do it? Like, you know, it's kind of like the story in the Bible where you feel like you're giving, like, several talents and you buried one. They're like, okay, no, let me just bury that one. You didn't make use of it. So when I see people who are doing everything that they, you know, are gifted to do, then I'm totally, it makes me feel really proud. So that was beautiful. You know, lyric-wise, music, the instrumentation, everything. That's really an anthem, really. So great stuff, great work. Now, I have a message. This came in. It's a message from a listener, Falake. Falake wants me to ask you a question. So she's like, hi, Ashionye. Can you tell us what are the challenges of being a working mother in the entertainment industry?
Challenges. For me, basically, I schedule my work and time around my family. For me, family comes first. Like I said, I have a 5-month-old daughter. I'm about to get back to her. So I have to always, you know, think about her. Am I taking her to work with me today? Or, you know, or do I leave her with the nanny and what have you? I constantly think about my family when I'm working. So if I'm not able to, you know, think about my family first, I don't do that project. I don't risk my family. The challenges, I try not, when it comes to my family, I try not to, you know, create any sort of challenge. Like I said, my family comes first, you know, so I work, but if I'm not able to because I have to be there for my family, I will sacrifice at work. So I guess, you know, basically, I would say sacrificing. Is yeah, if you want to call it a challenge, sacrificing certain things for your family, yeah, you know. But everyone sacrifices, you know, every now and then.
Exactly. I was gonna say sacrifice is kind of like a virtue of love, so I think it's one form of showing love to your family. So
to your
maybe
family, you
know, is a challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know, just before we wrap this up, and I know that we've been talking for quite a while. I also know that you're a writer, and I think it would be a travesty to kind of end this conversation without talking at least about your writing. I know that, I mean, hey, you're a songwriter, you're a screenwriter, and you also have a blog, which you share kind of, you know, great views on motherhood and parenthood and a lot of, you know, things. But you know, I was just going to ask, when did your love for writing really start, and how's it going really with
Ashionye
Online?
My love for writing started when I was pretty young. I've always loved expressing myself, you know, through writing. I remember as a kid, there was one time I wrote a 4-page letter to my father because I felt he had upset me. We're Africans. Come on. You cannot open your mouth to tell your father, you've annoyed me. You've upset me. Yes, you'll be told off. One way another, you know. So I picked up my pen and I expressed myself lightly in a 4-page paper, letter, and I put it, folded it nicely, put it in an envelope. While my father was watching the news, the late night news, I put it on his bed. And by the time he got there, he opened the envelope, read the letter, and called me in. And the first thing he said was, "I am sorry." And yes, you know, that letter did it, you know. So I've always loved expressing myself through writing. So I guess it started pretty young. Can't quite say when, but pretty young. And I shown it online. Yes, coming to that. I felt to share my experiences as a mother, you know, and one way to do that with friends and fans is to do that online. Thank God for social media and, you know, for the free blog sites that we're able to get on. You know, I come up with topics every now and then. I have not been on my blog for a couple of months now due to, you know, work at home and work.
And of course, the baby.
The baby and all. So, but now that she's 5 months, I have a couple of, you know, posts that I have to put up, like two posts that I'm looking forward to putting up and sharing with everybody, you know, and it has to do with my experience being a mother to a daughter for the first time.
Yeah.
It's a lot different, you know, to being a mother to a son. You know, so yes, that's the first post I'll be putting up, and sometime next month, early next month.
And I would love to read it. I would absolutely love. You know, Kez, it's always great to have, you know, perspective from people's experience. You know, so I don't have a daughter, but I would love to. I'd love to
coming soon. Coming soon.
And be ready. And I would love to be the one, be ready just in case, you know. But, you know, some of the, you know, just having you share your experience and your thoughts and your views on a platform like that, you come across as, you come across as every mother's best friend, so to speak, you know, with your own voice. And, you know, it's great to have you share. And then, you know, again, your fans will feel like there's something they can always get back from your own personal experience.
You know,
so,
it's
been an amazing. No, I'm listening. Sorry.
Sorry. You know, I said I've had from one of the posts that I put up about you know, protecting. It's, I think it's called protecting your child. I've had a lot of mothers and even fathers, you know, send me messages on the on my blog and even on Facebook and Twitter talking about that particular post, because with the things happening in the world today, you know, we do need to, you know, find a way to keep an eye on our kids. Yes, we have minders. We have teachers in school. We have nannies at home, and we have to work. But somehow, we're still the parents, and we still need to look out for our children and protect them. And another thing a lot of parents do not do, because parents believe when you have a small child, you know, sometimes, you know, they say things that they don't mean, and sometimes parents do not believe their children. But I have brought my son up, and I'm hoping I can bring my daughter up in that way to express himself. And if there's anything, he says it as it is so that we can address it properly. You know, so whether it's a school, you know, he's been offended by somebody, even a friend, or someone did something to him, or he did something to someone, he always comes back and tells us, okay, this is how my day has gone. And then we're like, okay, so why did you do that? And we get him to apologize if he's wrong. And if the other person is wrong, we, you know, address, you know, the problem. If it's a school, we speak to the teacher. So parents should always try to listen to their kids, because, you know, we do need to listen to our kids.
Very true. And I read that post as well. I actually read that post and I thought, you know what?
Oh.
Funny enough, it was, yes, I did. And I told you I learned something, because I went back to my son and I'm like, okay, you know what? You have to tell me everything that happens every day. Also, you know, you know, he's also very expressive and open with me, so he knows he can tell me anything. And he's not afraid.
Yeah.
Like, he, yes, to your face, he's telling, you know, right in front of the person, how do you do that? You know, like, so.
Good boy,
But reading that post totally made me aware because, you know, sometimes you can get very carried away as a parent because you're busy
as a parent
trying to defend
yeah.
and work, you know, but you need to constantly be in touch with your children so you know what's
yeah.
going on. And I think that what you do with your writing is amazing. I'd love to read more. So I can't wait for our little princess to get bigger so that she can let mommy write some more.
Yeah.
Until we, you know, influence us.
Yeah.
Okay, Ash.
Thank you.
You know, it's been an amazing night.
It's been awesome.
I'm trying to run away from saying night because there are people listening from everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
But it's been so great having you on the show. And I would love
Thank
for you,
you
to come back another time, you know.
I would love
when,
to be on the show again.
You know, maybe when, I don't know, maybe a roundtable conversation, or maybe when after the album, another album is out. You never know when there's a milestone. So I'd definitely love to have you back on the show. I had so much fun talking to
Same
you.
Here.
It's been awesome.
Yeah,
thank you
for having me. It's been amazing.
Thank you. Okay, guys. Well, so have a great night. I'm running away from saying great night, actually, because there are people who
have
feel
a
like,
great,
you know,
great day. Yes,
great day.
More like that. Yes.
Yes, great day. That's more like it because I always say great day. So have a great day and love to the kids. My love to the kids.
They'll hear love to your son as well.
I will. All right then. Okay, guys. You know, if you've been listening to our very awesome, unfiltered, uncut conversation. Yes, I was talking to the delectable, and I use the word delectable because she is extremely multi-talented, very, very talented, singer, songwriter, actress, screenwriter. You know, her resume is like totally out of this world, you know, award-winning filmmaker, Ashimi Araka. And it was great talking to Ash, and yes, I like to call her Ash. You're talking to Ash and, you know, just about her journey as an artist and how she's been navigating that and combining that with motherhood. And it was great to get to know so much more about her love for the arts and as well her love for family as well. And so, guys, until we come back again on Friday Radio Special with my guest, oh, God, yes, I have an amazing guest this Friday, and it's Dr. John Mackerel. John Mackerel is a clinical hypnotherapist, a very famous, well-famous clinical hypnotherapist and self-improvement expert, and he'll be here on Friday Radio Special. I'll be talking about the synthesis process live all the way from the U.S. So, guys, so we'll come back on Friday Radio Special. It's been an awesome day. Don't forget that expression is a sign of strength, not weakness. You need to apologize for being who you really are or thinking what you're thinking. And yes, this is the one house where we don't apologize. We tell it like it is and we keep it real. So we'll come back again on Friday Radio Special. I love you for listening. Ciao.
It's unscripted. How? It's unfiltered. How? It's uncaught. It's unscripted, out. It's unfiltered, out. It's uncut, damn uncensored. It's unscripted, out. It's unfiltered, out. It's uncut, damn uncensored. It's a naked talk show. The naked talk show.
Listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorochi.